Bunter on Trial. Billy Bunter's eyes popped.
Wow! Oh, crikey!
The number one study in The Remove had quite an unusual aspect. In the first place, it was spotlessly tidy, which was rather uncommon at Greyfriars School. In the second place, the table was laid for tea, but evidently not for an ordinary everyday tea. It was laid for a spread of unaccustomed magnificence. It was a feast of the gods that was toward in number one study.
I see you fellows. I say, that looks a topping spread. Lots of fellows coming over, are there?
Harry Wharton stared at the fat owl.
Only one. Wingate of the sixth. It's rather a special occasion, having the captain of the school to tea.
Bunter's eyes and spectacles lingered lovingly on the tea table.
Oh.
He seemed unable to tear himself away from that beatific vision of almost unlimited tuck.
Oh, Lord!
Harry Wharton glanced at his watch.
Ah, just five. Wingate's due at 5:30. Everything's ready, I think, eh, Bob?
Every jolly old thing. Now let's get out.
I say, Cherry.
Hello. You still there, fatty, waiting to be rolled away like a barrel? Out, Bunter, you fat, foozling lump.
Oh, beast!
Bunter rolled down the passage to the landing. There he sat down by the banisters. 2 or 3 minutes later, Harry Wharton and co. passed him. He waited until they were out of sight, then almost shot into the removed passage to the door of number one study. Grinning, Billy Bunter turned the door handle.
No! No! Beasts! They've locked it!
He glared at that door. It was really a wonder that the glare he bestowed upon it did not crack his spectacles. The door was locked, the spread was inside the study, and Bunter was outside. Only a few feet away, but solid oak intervened. So near, and yet so far.
Oh, crikey! Suppose a fellow could get another key. Then one... Oh! And a fellow could, perhaps. Fisher T. Fish has got a huge bunch of keys in his study.
Bunter blinked into number 14 study. Fisher T. Fish was busy.
I say, Fishy, I want you to lend me...
Forget it.
Only a bunch of keys.
Okay, that'll be 2 of your English pence.
Okay. Now, look, I'll settle later. Okay,
Fishy? Hey, what do you know? Travel, you fat clam, and shut that door behind you.
Oh, come on. I'm expecting a postal order, old chap.
I sure said travel.
Oh, look here, you beast.
Yet.
Fisher T. Fish picked up a cushion. Without waiting for the cushion, Billy Bunter banged the door shut. Then he rolled down the passage to his own study, number 7. Bunter had remembered that Peter Todd, his study mate, had lines on hand for Mr. Quelch, so Toddy would be in. Minutes were passing, and there really was no time to lose.
I say, Toddy, old chap!
Conticuere omnes...
What?
Intentique ora tene bant in de toro paper.
Oh, for goodness sake, Peter, shut up that rot for a minute.
Aeneas sic orsus.
Will you lend me something till my postal order comes?
Troianos ut opes et lamentabile regnum.
It's only tuppence.
Did you say tuppence?
Yes.
Peter was not surprised that Bunter wanted to borrow something. Billy Bunter was a borrower of deadly skill. But he was surprised by the moderation of the sum. Bunter was not accustomed to dealing coppers.
Did you say tuppence?
Yes, old chap. I mean, if you just got some coppers you don't want...
I haven't.
Oh, no. I say, old chap.
I've got some I do want.
You silly ass. Look here, just lend me a measly tuppence, will you please?
Yes, if you will shut that door. Catch. And keep your face on the other side of it.
Thanks, Toddy, old man.
Push off.
Fishy, I say Fishy.
Oh, you again, you pesky pie can. I
guess... Fishy, here's your money. Now hand over the keys. Come on, quick.
Here you are. Hey. Now mind you don't lose any of them keys, boy.
Oh! I got the key.
Bunter arrived at the door of Harry Wharton's study. He cast a cautious blink around before he commenced operations. The coast was clear. Quarter past five chimed from the clock tower as Bunter jammed key after key into the lock and jerked it out again. In another 50 minutes, the famous five would be back, accompanied by their honoured and distinguished guest. At last, at long last, there was a click, which was music to Bunter's fat ears. The fat owl blinked through his big spectacles at the well-spread table. For one moment, he feasted his eyes. But it was only for one moment. The next, he was feasting the inner Bunter. In a few minutes, the ham and the hard-boiled eggs had disappeared. Meringues and eclairs followed, going down like oysters. Then Bunter paused. He was reluctant to pause, but there was danger in the air. With his mouth full and his plump jaws working busily, Bunter crammed a last meringue into his capacious mouth, and taking the big cake under a fat arm, he rolled out of the study and shut the door after him. Something had to be done about Bunter. A crowd of fellows were in the rag after tea, listening to Harry Wharton.
The circumstances, I propose a form trial.
Yeah, absolutely. I should say so.
We're going to scrag the fat scrounger.
Scrounger,
all the same, Bull. As captain over the remove, I must insist Bunter have a fair trial by all the form.
No.
Yes, first of all, we've got to appoint a judge. Who's going to be judge?
Morley.
Here.
Wake up, Morley. You're wanted.
I wasn't asleep. I heard what all you fellows were saying.
You're going to be judge, Morley.
Judge what?
Bunter's up for a form trial, you yawning ass, and you are going to sit as judge.
Oh, all right, I'll find him guilty. What's the charge?
The charge will be made when he comes before the court. Bunter's entitled to a defending counsel, too, if anybody feels like sticking up for him.
Anybody?
I'll do it.
Why, soddy, you tick. You jolly well know that he did it just as much as we all do.
I shall do my best for my client, as a lawyer is bound to do. I hope to be able to prove that he is spotlessly innocent.
Oh, when you jolly well know he's guilty.
Certainly, that's what a lawyer's for.
Well, look, I fancy the jury are going to see to that. I mean, come on, we're all on the jury. And I can jolly well tell you, we're going to find him guilty.
I shall. As defending counsel, object to that member of the jury. Vernon Smith is prejudiced against my client and not qualified to sit on the jury.
What?
As a point of law...
Hold on. The judge can overrule counsel's objection. Morley, will you overrule Toddy's objection?
Certainly. What does he object to? What does he object to?
Yes, that's settled then. Now, we're all ready. And, the court is in session. Except for the jolly old prisoner. Now we shall have to wait for that fat villain to crawl out of his hideout.
Beast! Oh, crikey, you fellows, you know I didn't do it. I don't even know what it was anyway.
Quiet. The court is now open. Mr. Bull will now open the proceedings with a speech for the prosecution.
No!
Well, look here.
I rise on a point of order. First of all...
Shut up, Toddy. Your turn comes next. If you've got anything to say for that fat, foozling scrounger...
First of all, you have to ask the prisoner whether he pleads guilty or not guilty.
Oh, by gum, so you do. I forgot that bit. Prisoner at the bar...
Oh, really? Come on, chaps.
Do you plead guilty or not guilty?
Oh, beast!
No. Silence in court. The prisoner at the bar will answer, or he will be booted.
Ow!
Are you guilty or not guilty?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Look, I ain't guilty of anything. Look, I never went into the study at all. And I never touched anything.
No, that'll do, you fat villain. We all know you're jolly well guilty. But you're going to have a fair trial. Go it, Johnny. Mr. Bull. That fat tuck-hunting twerp...
Your lordship, I object to such an expression as tuck-hunting twerp applied to my client by my learned friend opposite, as liable to prejudice the minds of the jury. I trust that your lordship will uphold my objection.
Eh? What are you calling me your lordship for, you fathead?
You're the judge, you silly ass. I mean, your silly lordship.
Look here. Doesn't every man here know that Bunter is a tuck-hunting twerp?
I submit that what everybody knows is not evidence, your lordship. My learned friend opposite will kindly allude to my client as Mr. Bunter.
I say thanks, Toddy.
Oh, all right. Mr. Bunter sneaked a spread from number one study yesterday afternoon. An old Wingate who was coming to tea had to go away without any. The accused is known all over Greyfriars as a pincher of other fellows' tuck.
I say!
There's hardly a man in the room who hasn't kicked him for it. But has it done him any good? It hasn't. I've walloped him with a cricket stump myself, and the very next day he had a bag of tarts out of me study.
Oh, I tell you I didn't! I never touched that bag of tarts! Anyway, there are only four tarts in it. Oh, crikey!
Silence in court. Prisoner at the bar.
Yes?
Shut up.
Beast!
He had my tarts, and he's had something from every study in the remove. What he wants is a jolly heavy sentence to teach him how to behave. That's my case, and I demand the heaviest sentence that it is in the power of this court to pass.
Okay, I sentence him to...
Hold on, Morley. Huh? You haven't heard the defence yet, you ass, and the jury haven't found him guilty yet.
Oh, my mistake. Carry on. I'm ready to sentence him as soon as you fellas are ready.
Oh, really, Morley?
Shut up, Bunter.
Yeah, shut up, Bunter.
Go it, Toddy.
Your lordship and gentlemen of the jury, my client stands accused of abstracting comestibles.
Snooping talk!
Of abstracting comestibles, and I trust to be able to clear him of this absurd, this frivolous charge.
You jolly well know he did it.
I appeal to your lordship to rule that my learned friend opposite is not entitled to interrupt counsel's speech.
Oh, yeah. Pack it up, Johnny.
I thank your lordship. No one saw Mr. Bunter snooping the tuck? I mean, abstracting the comestibles? Tuck was missing, but none of the missing tuck was found upon my client. My client, according to his statement, never went near the study from which the comestibles were abstracted. It is admitted that in such matters his reputation is far from good.
Oh, really, Toddy?
But the jury must banish from their minds all considerations of previous convictions which carry no weight in the present proceedings. My client must be judged on the evidence, and I submit that there is no evidence.
Hear, hear!
If the prosecution can produce any such evidence, I shall be glad to hear it. Otherwise, I demand the discharge of my client by this court without a stain on his character.
Yeah, yeah! Bravo! Oh, brilliant, Doddy! Acquit! Acquit!
All right. I will now sentence the prisoner at the bar.
Oh. Hold on, Morley, you ass. Can't you wait for the jury to find him guilty?
Oh, God, yeah. Go ahead and find him guilty, then.
The jury will now consult on their verdict.
I say, you fellows, oh, come on.
The prisoner at the bar will shut up.
Beast!
My lord, we find the prisoner at the bar guilty on this charge, and the verdict is unanimous.
Oh, crikey!
Oh, good. I suppose I can sentence him now. What, Wharton?
Let me see. I think you have to ask him first whether he has anything to say before sentence is passed on him.
Oh, all right. Prisoner at the bar... Have you anything to say before sentence is passed on you?
Yes, I certainly do. I never did it.
Oh, shut up, Bunter. Prisoner at the bar, you have been found guilty by a jury of your peers, and a jolly good verdict too, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Jolly rotten
it
verdict.
It is now my duty to pass sentence upon you.
Oh, come on, look here, you beast.
I sentence you to be sent to Coventry by the whole form and barred by every man in the remove till you learn to behave like a decent Greyfriars man.
Beast!
And, in addition, to be kicked out of the rag, every fellow here putting in at least one kick.
Oh, yeah, crikey! Yeah. Oh, I say, you fellow! Yeah. Oh, no!
Go do it, you men! Get stuck in!
Ouch! Oh! Ah! Oh, Yarrow!
You've been listening to Billy Bunter by Frank Richards with Tim Brooke Taylor, Graham Garden and Bilotti. The producer was Melanie Miller. Billy Bunter is a Rewind production for Radio 2.